This morning, I'm going to bring to you a message called The Best Gift Ever. The Best Gift Ever. Blood of Jesus. We're going to come out of one scripture today. And I figure since the Seahawks game is later today, it's a night game, that I could extend my talk about an extra 30 minutes. Does that sound okay? I'll preach for about 90 minutes. Just kidding. In fact, I think we'll let you out as quickly as possible. Just some things on my heart to share with you this morning. But the best gift ever. Let's read Isaiah 9:6. Now, Isaiah, just to give you a little bit of context, he is one of the great prophets in the Hebrew Bible, in the Old Testament, in the old system. He said these words, he prophesied these words about the coming Messiah 700 years before Jesus would be born. 700 years. If you've ever wondered if the Bible is inspired, go back and read some of the prophecies about Jesus, and you'll discover just how specific, just how detailed they are, and how detailed the fulfillment of those prophecies were through the person of Jesus. Isaiah said this 700 years before Christ. He said, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders. He will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace." Woo, is right. That's some powerful words. Let's pray over this message. Father, we thank you for Jesus, and we thank you for Christmas, and we thank you for the gift that you've given us. Truly, you've given us the best gift ever through your son, Jesus. And God, we are mindful of that this morning. I pray that you would help me to speak words that would be uplifting, that would be anointed, that would be of the Spirit, Lord, that it would take hearts in the root in the hearts of your people this morning, God, that we would be encouraged and we would see you more clearly, would be reminded of what you have done for us. And we just want to thank you for all of these things. And we pray this in Jesus' name. And we also pray that the Seahawks would win and make it to the playoffs. They need you, Jesus. Amen. You got to sneak in those prayers. Nothing wrong with that. The best gift ever. We don't like to admit it, but every one of us at one point or another has probably received a gift that we weren't too excited about. Have you ever received a gift that you weren't overly excited about? Come on, you don't lie in church, everybody. That's not a good thing to do. Raise them high and proud. You've received a gift that you weren't overly excited about. Have you ever received gifts? You remember when you were younger and maybe there was a hobby or a particular thing you were really interested in, and it's like you could never shake it because every year people would give you a gift related to that thing for years and years and years. And here you are, you're a grown man, and they're still giving you gifts based on the hobby you had when you were 7 years old. Is it just me? Gifts. I love gifts. You get a lot of gifts at work, and I now that I'm older and I have to give a lot of gifts away too, I give gifts to my employees, give gifts to people, no one in here, but I immediately start thinking which gifts I can immediately re-gift. Just me? We're telling the truth in church this morning, everybody. The best gift ever. It's a good gift. When you get that gift you really want, that gift that really excites you, you know, you can see it in somebody's eyes, can't you? And we fake it. We can fake it till we make it. We can do our best to seem excited and be grateful and appreciative. But Jesus truly is the gift that won't disappoint you, isn't he? He is the best gift ever. I heard some people talk about how, you know, this Christmas we're not gonna give any gifts to our kids and all of that. Now, if it's a budgetary thing, I understand, but I think giving gifts to people, giving gifts to our kids on Christmas is a good thing to do. Just teach them that Jesus is the better gift and the best gift. Amen? He's the best gift that you've ever received. He's the best gift that has ever been offered to you, is the person of Jesus. I want to share this with you. We read all about the birth of Jesus and the gift of Jesus. And you know, it's interesting when you hear about how the angels would proclaim that Jesus was being born and all of these things were about to happen. There were the shepherds in the field, and there was Mary, this starry-eyed young gal who was supernaturally conceived by the Holy Spirit, and all these things are happening. The angels talked about it like it was good things, good news being delivered. Amen? But we live in a world where people talk about Jesus and the gospel like it's not a good thing. Right? I mean, it's the good news. It's the good gift. It's the best gift that God could ever give humanity. And I want to just take this one scripture from Isaiah and talk about the gift that you can get excited about. Be genuinely excited about. You don't have to pretend like you're excited. Right? You don't have to fake your excitement. If you really understand the gift that God has given you, you can get genuinely grateful and excited for what he has done for you and what he has given you. So we're going to unpack Isaiah 9:6 just for a few minutes. Notice it says, for to who? To us a child is born. To us a son is given. I find this fascinating. I want you to think about the magnitude. Think about the incredible wealth of goodness and grace that God has given us as human beings to come down and become one of us. This, ladies and gentlemen, is the mystery of the incarnation. Who are we that God would choose to become like us? Amen? It is incredible that God not only would become one of us, but he would remain a human in the likeness of a human for all eternity future. When God made the decision to send his son for the second person of the Godhead to become a man, by the way, side note, Jesus existed before he was born, right? We all understand that, right? Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the God-man in the flesh. He existed before he was born in the flesh, but when he was born, that's when he took on human likeness, and he became one of us. How many are grateful that when God wanted to relate to us most closely, he became one of us? Right? If you want to communicate with a cow, maybe you'd become a cow, right? If you want to communicate to the ant kingdom, you become an ant. He didn't come down as an ant. He didn't send an angel. He didn't send something. He came down. He became one of us. He partook in our sufferings. He partook in our humanness. Is that a word? Our humanness. This gift is not to the angels. This gift is not to any other created thing. The gift of Jesus is to us. To who? To humans. To people. To the ones here on planet Earth. Sitting out way out in this galaxy somewhere, and God came to be with us. And he came not only to be with us, he came to become one of us. And it's by becoming one of us, he became our high priest. He's our representative to God. Amen? He is your representative to the Father. A prophet speaks what the Lord is saying to the people. The priest takes the needs of the people to God. What better high priest is to become one of us and to lay down his life for us? It's really an incredible gift. I want you to really understand this word to us. Jesus is a gift to you. He is a gift that God has given to you personally. It's so easy for us to think about Jesus as off yonder, as just a cosmic muscle, as, you know, doing a lot of things for other people. But what has God done for me lately? I can tell you one thing. God sent his son for you lately. And Jesus is God's gift for you. Amen? It doesn't matter what your background is. It doesn't matter what your past is. It doesn't matter what your behavior has been like. If you say, I have a checkered past. I have a broken past. I messed up. I've done all kinds of crazy things. God sent Jesus as his gift to you. Amen. To the ones with a checkered, broken, disreputable past. God sent his son for you. No strings attached. The greatest gift ever sent for you. You say, well, you don't understand. I'm not really all that lovable. I don't come from the good side of town. I don't have a lot of money. I'm kind of the low end of the totem pole. You know what I mean? God sent his son to you. It's no coincidence that when the angels and God begins to proclaim the birth of Jesus, he went out to some shepherds in the field. He went out to some wise men, and they see the star. There's Joseph, who's all messed up in turmoil with Mary, the one that he was going to marry. And she's all starry-eyed and wonder. She's young. God proclaimed the good news to everybody in all walks of life, to all mankind, every kindred, every background, every skin color, every culture. God sent his gift to all mankind. Amen? You say, well, you know, my culture is different. My culture, you know, we believe different things. Well, God sent his gift to you too. God sent the truth of his son so that all cultures and all backgrounds and all belief systems and everybody could come to know the living God. It's to us. It's to humans. If you are a human, God has given you the gift of his son, which is an incredible thing. In John 3:16, Jesus said, "For God so loved who? The world." He loved the world and all of its brokenness. He loved the world and all its wide spectrum of people, all kinds of backgrounds and people. He loved the world in its current state. He had compassion on the world. He longed to see his people be in relationship with him. So he sent a gift to humans. He sent a gift to planet Earth, which is Jesus. Think about how incredible. The angels are aware of how big this is. The angels would just cry out the glory of God. They'd sing and cry out about how incredible it is what God was doing. It's pretty amazing. We have something the angels don't even have. Because we have God in the likeness of us. He became a bondservant, the Bible says. He became one of us, and he is our high priest forever. When you go to heaven, you meet Jesus, he's going to look like a man. He's a man in his glorified body. You're going to have a lot in common with Jesus. What a beautiful expression of commitment and love that Jesus would become man and be a man forevermore. He is the gift to you. Next part of the verse in Isaiah 9:6 says, "For to us a child is born, to us a son is given, and what? The government will be on his shoulders." This is beautiful. This is mighty. There's so many facets to this. Listen, life comes with all kinds of pressures, doesn't it? There's pressure when you're living life. You got to pay the bills, right? You got to get to work. You got to pay the bills. You got to put food on the table. You got kids. You've got relatives. You've got loved ones. There are problems. There is pressure. There is performance. All of these things that come with life. God has given you a gift, the best gift ever, through his son. Not only is it a gift to you, but it's a gift for you. Because the government, the Bible says, shall be on his shoulders. The weight of the world is on his shoulders and not your shoulders. Come on now. Some of us need to resign and put our resignation letter in to God and say, "I'm not going to try to run the universe anymore. I'm not going to try to be the one that takes care of and handles everything anymore." Because there is a Savior, there is a King, there is a Jesus who came, who can bear the weight of the government. You know, the Bible says that we are ushered into a new system, a new covenant. And Jesus, the one who fulfilled the law of the old covenant, he took the weight that we could not take on ourselves. He fulfilled what we could not fulfill so that we can walk in grace and in liberty and in freedom. He took the weight of the wrath of the Father. He took the weight and penalty of sin. He bore all of that on his own shoulders. And God can carry the weight. The shoulders of Jesus are broad. He can handle your problems. He can handle your pressure. He can handle the performance that you couldn't do, he could do. The pressure you can't take, he can take. Come on now. The problems that are too big for you, he can handle those problems. The government, the weight of the world is on the shoulders of Jesus so that we could walk and have a life that is easy. His yoke is easy, the Bible says. Now, life's not always easy, but his yoke is easy, and his burden is light. He has taken the heavy load off of our shoulders, hasn't he? You don't have to worry so much anymore about making ends meet. You don't have to carry around the burdens of performing perfectly for God. God loves you irrespective of your performance. And he puts his spirit in you and gives you a new heart so that you want to do the things of God. Where it becomes what? It's pleasurable to serve God. You want to please God. And you become obedient from where? From the heart. It's no longer a system of God trying to lead you on the external and say, here's my standard, now live up to it. Instead, he made it an inside out life, where he put his life on the inside of you, made you a new creation so you can live out now, which is congruent with your new nature. His yoke is easy and his burden is light. The pressure of performance, the pressures of life, which can be heavy, Jesus is bearing the weight of the world. In 1 Peter 5:7, the Bible says, cast your cares upon him, because he cares for you. You know, sometimes it takes a circumstance, a situation in life, doesn't it, where you are reminded again of your need to transfer your cares and burdens and pressures back onto the shoulders of Jesus. He puts a little weight on you. He puts a little bit on you, and life comes down your street, and you're getting weighed down by the things of life, the pressures and the performance and the problems. And it's all a process of God teaching you and causing you to learn how to cry out to him and to transfer those things back onto his shoulders. You were never meant to carry those burdens. There's a lightness to life. There's a rhythm of grace Jesus taught, where you learn how to trust Jesus in all things, and the pressures and the stresses that would normally weigh down somebody who doesn't have faith in him. As a believer, you have faith in him, right? Even though you don't see things in the natural, you believe them in the spirit. And you walk by faith and not by sight. And when you walk by faith and not by sight, you can have a peace that comes from God and God alone, which surpasses all understanding. This is God's gift to you. The best gift ever. Peace from God. The one who can carry your burdens. The one who will take on the weight of your life. God takes us through these processes of learning again to trust him. It's funny, when you go through the refiner's fire, you go through some stuff and you really begin to cry out to God and you see God come through for you. And then all of a sudden, you've gone from faith to faith and from glory to glory, haven't you? Now you know even more. You sense even stronger. Your conviction of faith is even deeper, that God will never leave you. He'll always come through for you. He can never fail on your behalf. And the stronger you grow in this understanding, the lighter the pressures of the world will come. matter what's going on in the world. Jesus says, be of good cheer. I've already overcome the world. Right? We don't have to carry the pressures and the worries and the stress about what's happening around the globe. We're not God. He's God. He's the one who writes history. He's the one who's responsible for everything. He's the one who put it all together. He's the one who will judge. He's the one who will make sure that good prevails and evil loses. Did you know that? You don't have to, Jesus, God says vengeance is his. When we see injustices in the world and we feel like we can never see righteousness prevail, God ensures that righteousness and justice prevails. Come on now. He's the one who has the final say. He is, the Bible says, the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. Can I get an amen? I don't care how big and bad some president or some country or some dictator or some issue thinks it is. God is still sovereign over the world. God is still sovereign over the affairs of the world. He wants us to have peace and to take the pressure off of everything we see and just enjoy the peace and goodness of God. The best gift ever. Come on now. Some of us need to read the gospel a little more than we're reading Twitter. I read Twitter, and I'm kind of addicted. I'll admit it. I'm a total Twitter addict. I've got a big problem. I do. And then you start getting, you read this stuff, and you're like, you start getting mad about stuff. It's like, hey. Something about you. You keep your eyes on him, and he keeps you in perfect peace. Come on now. This is the real news. This isn't the fake news. This is the real news. This is the good news. This is the only news. Come on, somebody. We get our eyes on the good news, and something supernatural happens on the inside of us. We're floating. We're like floating like a butterfly. We're just full of the fruit of the Spirit, aren't we? Love, joy, and peace. Patience, kindness, gentleness, self-control, because we're controlled and dominated by the thoughts of Jesus rather than the thoughts of Twitter or whatever news channel, whatever issue or whatever circumstance is going on around us. Some of us just need to get away from negative people. Come on now, give them a blessing, you know, pump them up a little bit, but you can't hang around negative people too much because that negativity will bring you down. Get into your thoughts. Wounded people will try to wound you. Broken people. Serve them. Bless them. You know, help them. But don't let their thing get on you. Amen? Keep your eye on Jesus. Keep your mind fresh. Keep your mind renewed. Don't take on the world. Some of you, you're always taking on the weight of other people's problems. You always want to be their savior, right? You want to be the one who fixes that person. You can't fix that person. You can't even fix yourself. Amen? Jesus, give it over to him. Let Jesus fix the people you're trying to fix in your life. Come on, let the joy of the Lord return. Just enjoy your life. Don't take on the weights that only God was meant to carry. Don't take on the responsibilities that only God was meant to take on. Come on now. This is the life. This is the rhythm of grace, where we learn to just let go of these things and let go of this worry and let go of what's going to happen tomorrow. Some of us are so bound up by a fear of what's going to happen tomorrow. What's going to happen with my job? What's going to happen with my circumstance? What's going to happen with my health? What's going to happen? We can't live like that. Jesus said, you know, tomorrow's cares will take care of themselves. You got enough to worry about tomorrow. Just think about what's going on today. Come on now. Worry about today. Take care of today. Handle today. Doesn't mean you don't plan for tomorrow. We're talking about the weight of the world. You weren't meant to carry the weight of what it's going to be like in your life 5 years from now, 10 years from now. The weight of the government, the weight of the world is on the shoulders of Jesus. What an incredible gift. If he can handle the weight of the government, he can certainly handle the weight of the things going on in your life. Amen? Next part of the verse, Isaiah 9:6. For unto us a child is born, to us a son is given, and the government will be on his shoulders, and he will be called Wonderful Counselor, Mighty God, Everlasting Father, Prince of Peace. It's like I can't keep up with all the names given to Jesus. The Bible has this way of giving a lot of names and titles to God. You see this even back in the Hebrew Bible. Jehovah Jireh, Jehovah Nissi, Jehovah Rapha, all these names of God. There's a reason why the Bible does that. And the reason is that you can't categorize God with one name. When Moses said, God, who should I say sent me? God just says, I am. I am what? I am. Who are you, God? I am. I am that I am. I'm everything. I'm all knowledge. I'm all power. I'm all life. I'm all resurrection. I'm all peace. I'm everything. You can't put God in a box. You can't give him a name. There's no name that can categorize God. So they'd give him names based on different facets of things, of characteristics and things that God would do in their lives. He's the God who healeth thee. Come on now. He's the God of peace. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's a Mighty God. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Light of the World. Come on, what is God not? God is everything. He gives them this name, the Wonderful Counselor. You know, Isaiah 7:14, this is one of the most beautiful names. When Isaiah was prophesying about the coming of Jesus, that would happen 700 years later. It says, therefore the Lord himself will give you a sign. What is the sign? The virgin will conceive and give birth to a son. And will call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. Well, they didn't name him Emmanuel. They named him Jesus. But Emmanuel is a name that represents just one other facet of Jesus, which is God with us. What is God like? God desires to be with you. What is God like? God is almighty and all powerful. Let's go through some words. Let's go through some names, shall we? I'm going to close with this. Letting you out really early. I told you I'd let you out early. I don't want to lose my voice for tomorrow completely. The Bible says that Jesus is the Word. Do you know that? He's the Word. This Bible right here, these inspired, Jesus is the Word of God. He's the spoken Word that became human flesh. He's truth. The Bible says he's the Messiah. He was the promised Messiah. Bible says Jesus is the Alpha and the Omega. Come on, there's too many names to categorize. You can't categorize God. He's the beginning and the end. He's the Savior. He's the Redeemer. He's the Light of the World. He's the Lamb of God. He's the Almighty One. He's the Advocate. He's the Bread of Life. He's the Bridegroom. He's the chief cornerstone. He's the deliverer. He's the good shepherd. He's the great high priest. He's the King of Kings. He's the Lion of Judah. He's the mediator between man and God. He's the rock. He's the Son of God. And he's the Son of Man. He's the supreme creator. He's the way, the truth, and the life. He's the true vine. He's the victorious one. He's the mighty God. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. He's the bright and morning star. He's the Wonderful Counselor. He's the firstborn over all creation. He's the head of the body. He's the Holy One. He's the true God. He's the resurrection and the life. Yes, Jesus. And he's Emmanuel, God with us. Ladies and gentlemen, this is God's gift to you. I heard somebody say, don't look a gift horse in the mouth. Some of you checking them out. Why would you reject a gift that's so good? How could you reject a Savior that's so sweet? He does nothing but love you. He does nothing but care about you. He does nothing but give you life. He's not trying to mess up your world. He's trying to restore your world. He's not trying to put you down. He's trying to build you up. He's not trying to change who you are and make you somebody you're not. He's trying to bring out of you the very best of who he's created you to be. He's not trying to minimize you. He's trying to bless you. He doesn't want you to say yes to him so he can send you off to some place you don't want to live and marry some person you don't want to marry and live some life you don't want to live. That's not the Jesus of the Bible. That's a fake God. That's fake news. Who's been feeding us fake news? This is good news. God will give you the desires of your heart, the Bible says. He makes you a new creation. He puts you on a journey that is unthinkable. He'll give you unexpected twists and turns in life. He'll see you through everything. He'll bring out the best of why you were created on this planet. See, you can't live out your purpose. You can't live out your true purpose in this life until you've met your Creator, who created you for a purpose. There's no better life than with Jesus. There's no sweeter existence than with Jesus. Come on, I'm talking about a God that you wake up, you don't have to feel guilty the next day. I'm talking about a God who blesses you no matter where you go, no matter if you're in the city or you're in the country. I'm talking about a God who is quick to forgive, is slow to wrath and slow to anger, patient and kind, long-suffering with us. God who leads and guides you into all truth, takes you beside the still waters, leads you into green pastures, makes you to lie down in a place that you will never want to leave. Well, there's no other pasture I want to go to. Jesus asked his disciples, are you going to leave me too? Peter says, where are we going to go? There's nowhere else to go. You're it. You're God. You're my gift. You're my purpose. You're my life. You're my reason for taking every step. Greatest gift ever is Jesus. Let's pray. Father, I thank you for sustaining my voice for one morning. I thank you for the gift of Jesus. I thank you for blessing us so much. God, I pray that those who don't know you would know you this morning. God, I pray they just reach out to you. I pray they just say yes to you. I just pray that the way the Spirit is ministering into the hearts of your people, God, they sense and feel the calling and pulling and tugging of the Holy Spirit. Let this be the day of salvation in their lives. I pray that every smokescreen and every lie of the enemy would just be pushed aside. Listen, the enemy has all kinds of arguments and all kinds of things and constructs all kinds of reasons why Jesus isn't real or God isn't real. It's all hogwash. It's hogwash. Jesus backed up his claim with an historical resurrection from the dead. Paul says if he didn't rise from the dead, we're fools for believing in him. But he did rise from the dead. And the first century followers, the eyewitnesses, were willing to die, not for a belief. They were willing to die for what they had claimed to see. Peter says, this Christ whom you crucified, God raised him from the dead. And when they were given a choice to submit to Caesar and renounce Jesus, every single one of them said, no, we've seen him risen from the dead. We will not submit to a false God. And they were willing to die, not for a pie in the sky or not for some belief. They died for an historical claim. Thomas didn't even believe Jesus rose from the dead. Jesus appears to him and said, go ahead and put your fingers in my side. Thomas hits the floor and says, my Lord and my God. Jesus says, you believe because you've seen. Blessed are those who believe who have not seen. You have not seen Jesus in the flesh, but your claim that you know him, and your claim of what he's done in your life, and your claim of how he's worked in your life, and your claim of knowing Jesus firsthand is as valid as the claim of the first century eyewitnesses who saw him risen from the dead. You might not see the Jesus in the natural, in the flesh, but Jesus has sent his Spirit to minister to you and to lead you to Jesus. And that God who has ministered to you is your claim and testimony that he is who he said he is.